Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that death has been defeated because of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that it is finished. It is made perfect because of what you've done. Lord, we stand before you victorious this evening, Lord, because of what you have done. And Lord, we respond in praise, in adoration, in worship, because only you who defeated death is worthy of worship. Be glorified in our presence, Lord. Be exalted in our presence, Lord. Be made famous, Lord, in our presence, Lord, and even to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening. We carry on in our series on metamorphosis. Tonight, about being transformed. I think we've all heard so many sermons on our Christian character, and it can often become drudgery that we have to make such an effort to do the things of God. We try, but we fail. We attempt one conference and we put that into practice and we stumble and fall and fail. And so we try something else and that doesn't work out either. So it becomes drudgery. We know what Matthew chapter 5 says about the Beatitudes and, you know, how to be blessed, you know, if you're pure in spirit and all the rest. We know about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And it can often become hard work as we try and attempt certain things. But as I read the Word of God in Romans chapter 12, then we begin to respond to God in a certain way because of what He has done for us. I'm going to ask Gary to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Thank you, Gary. Friends, I've read this passage, and I'm sure you have read this passage many, many times. But as I was preparing, I thought, wow, there is something very profound that is being said here. And I want to call that revelation. Because so many times you can read the Word of God, but as I read it this time, it's as if something jumped out at me, as it were, and it all fell into place, as it were. And so as I look at this passage, Paul writes and he says, I want you to understand this passage properly. And he says, whatever I've written before, therefore. Whatever's gone in the last 11 chapters, therefore. And so he uses a little word in the Greek, un. Therefore, accordingly, certainly, consequently, And these things being so. Now, what is he talking about, these things that have been gone before? In chapter 4, verse 1 of Romans, he talks about the blessings that are yours and mine because of his mercies. Because of his mercies, I don't have to go and struggle and do certain things to please God. No, I respond to God's mercy because of who he is and his mercy that he bestows upon you and upon me. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 1, in Christ we are justified by faith. In chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. In chapter 5, verse 12, we are made righteous. In chapter 6, verse 1, we are dead to sin and raised to new life. In chapter 7, verse 1, we are set free from sin and misery and are able to follow the Spirit. This is revelation. This is God saying, this is who you are in Christ. Before you were bad news. Now this is what I've made you because of my mercy, because of my grace. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 5, we're free not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 12, we are sons and daughters and heirs of God. Chapter 8, verse 18, we have a glorious future hope. Chapter 8, 26, in Christ our prayers are heard. I don't need to pray to a dead stick or a speaker or a pot. I pray to the true and living God and he hears by his grace and his mercy. Wow, how easy it is to respond in that case. Chapter 8, 18, we have a glorious future, hope. Chapter 8, 26, our prayers are heard. Amazing. Chapter 8, verse 28, God works everything for our ultimate good. Chapter 8, 29, we are his chosen ones. Chapter 8, 33, in Christ, no charges are laid against us. Chapter 8, 37, in Christ, we are conquerors. Chapter 8, 38, in Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love. Wow. Wow. I want you to learn that Greek word tonight. Wow. You can say it backwards if you like. Chapter 11, verse 11. In Christ we are grafted into the tree of Israel and are now part of the people of God. And so Paul says, because of that grace, God giving you what you don't deserve, because of that mercy, God was holding from you what you do deserve, because of our rebellion, we deserve to be aliens from God, because of our heart, but by his grace and mercy, he gives us, and he says, because of that, because of these blessings, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. In other words, you don't have to act in a certain way, but you're expected to respond to God in a certain way because of his grace and his mercy. You see, he fills us so we might overflow. He never wants us to live lives that are pleasing to him without giving us the power to be able to do that. His grace and his mercy. And so, I think in the course of our Christian lives, we've been taught about the character of God. And one of the characteristics of God that stands out is his holiness. His holiness. You know, in Leviticus chapter 19, there's almost this alternate form of God's Ten Commandments. And in that one chapter, seven times it says that he is a holy God. He says, I am the Lord and I am a holy God. Be holy, he says, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And friends, as we begin to understand by his grace and by his mercy who we are in Christ, it no longer becomes drudgery. We respond to him. He says, all the power that you need to live a holy life, because I'm holy, is available to you. Now that is a revelation. And when do we begin to do that? Now. He calls us to reflect on his holiness now. Why now? Because delay is decay. You see, if we don't decide to follow him now and respond to him, that amazing revelation of his grace and mercy, then we'll never do it. Oh, I first need to do this, and I first need to go and sort this out and that out. No, I've spoken the last 11 chapters, Paul has said. Therefore, go and live a life that's pleasing to God. Respond to him. That is a major revelation. Secondly, there is this presentation. Presentation. We present our bodies as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, I'm told that that's an oxymoron. Sounds like my Greek cousin. Listen, it's an oxymoron, which is a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction. Paul puts it elsewhere as glorifying God with our bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You see, our body is to be used to give thanks to God for his wondrous mercy that is available in Christ to you and to me. And he says, present your body. That word present means stand beside and exhibit your body. Bring it before God. Make sure that there is evidence of his presence in your life. Yield your body before God. Now that was very foreign to the Romans and to the Greeks at the time Paul wrote. You see, because they believed that the spirit is good and the body is bad. So you try and make sure that you do all the good things to please God in your spirit, but with your body you can enjoy yourself. And Paul is saying, no, you respond to God. And they were able to rationalize all of this, hence philosophy. They were able to rationalize why the body is good for enjoyment on this earth, but the spirit is to be kept holy. And so he writes and he says, listen, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, Paul was never ever saying that we must go and punish our body and sacrifice it. No, that was explained in Hebrews chapter 10, that Christ had offered his life as a sacrifice once and for all. We no longer have to come and offer sacrifices except in praise before him. So he was never talking about blood offerings or anything like that. That was done. They did that in the temple each day. That is over. That is history because of what Christ did on the cross. But friends, God still wants us to respond to him because of his grace and mercy and bring all of who we are before him in response to that grace and that mercy. I think many of us are astonished by these words even today, because it's my life and I can do as I please. I mean, if you look at the ads on TV, from wanting to sell a car to wanting to sell furniture, you put some half-dressed person on the television and as if it will sell more. Sadly, it sells more. Because that's what it is, you know? And that's exactly what Paul is speaking about. Don't bring your spirit only to God and then abuse your body, but bring all of who you are as a living sacrifice to God in response to who he is. As you have this revelation of God's grace and mercy, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to him. That word holy, it's the same word for saint. You're a saint because you live a holy life. And because you live a holy life, you're a saint. Doesn't happen many years afterwards. You come and you bring your life before him and you present your life, something that is holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. There is no doubt in your life on who you're serving. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. On a negative side, we can use our bodies for sin. On a positive side, we can glorify God and do his good and pleasing and perfect will. In Romans 6, 12 and 13, Paul says it this way, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Be careful how you respond to certain things with your body. He's talking about sexual immorality here. He's talking about the things of this world. And he says, listen, offer your body as something that is pleasing to God in response to that amazing revelation of his grace and his mercy. We offer our bodies as instruments of righteousness and we glorify his name with that. revelation, presentation. Thirdly, transformation. Transformation. In view of God's mercy, he says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One thing I want to do, just say in the second point there, as we present our lives before God, we examine every room of our hearts. We built a house 2 years ago, and just about 6-7 months ago, I moved from full-time lecturing at Vaux Seminary. I packed all my books and put them in one of the rooms at home. So if you were to come to our home, we'll take you, and I'll say, this is where the captain and the king and queen, the captain and the captain's boss, sleep in that room there. And this is where Michael's room is. This is the laundry. That's an interesting room. That's another room. And, you know, and then, because in that room, we keep the door closed because there are boxes and boxes of books. So we don't often open that door. And my wife has read me the riot act, and if I don't fix it up soon, I will be coming to knock on your door. And so if you come in, this is the lounge, this is the dining room, this is the theater. And so each room has its place except that one room, because it's chaotic in that room. Now assume your life and my life are like rooms in a house. Are there any rooms in our lives that need a little bit of help? In certain areas, we need a bit of a renovation in our lives. Because if that's the case, then God is saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, renovate that room. Get that room right. But come and present your life and acknowledge there's a problem in that room. Those boxes cannot stay there. Those books need to go onto a shelf. Your life, the way you're living, Christophides, certain compartments in your life need renovation. Acknowledge it. You need help. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, when you acknowledge that, then point number three comes transformation. You no longer get conformed to the things of this world, but you acknowledge that there's a problem. And once you acknowledge there's a problem, help can come. You see, there are two things that are important in the Christian life. You can conform to the things of this world, to the pattern of this world, and the word conform there is a beautiful word that you'll recognize in English. It's the word systematized. He says, don't systematize your life according to the things of this world. And the picture behind this word systematizo means don't allow a pattern to go onto the cloth and allow that pattern to be cut out according to the things of this world. But be transformed, and that's where the word metamorphosis comes in. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But we need to acknowledge that we cannot just coast along. As we respond to God's grace and mercy, so we can come before Him and get metamorphosized. You see, in life, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. Now, we all know a thermometer registers the temperature. When you go to the doctor, you know, they put a thermometer in certain parts of your body and it reads the temperature. But a thermostat controls the temperature. You see there, you can make it go warmer or colder. So I wonder what we are. Are we thermometers or are we thermostats? Because God wants us to be history makers, to be transforming, to leave a legacy behind, to change, as Simon said last week. Like that piece of clay on the pot or on the wheel. You see, it gets transformed, it gets changed. And when God's Spirit comes within us And we, that revelation comes, we respond by his grace and his mercy. And so we don't just coast along, but we are history makers in our land. Our grandchildren should be speaking about us. My grandfather, my grandmother, they changed the history of this land. Please God. Oh, but everybody has one and everybody's doing it. And so I don't want to be out. Listen, we don't have to be like this world. That happened in the Old Testament. God chose Israel, my people, and he put them on the Mount of Zion. And he said, I want all the nations around you to look at you and that you are to be different. But when I look from heaven, Israel, I don't see a difference between you and the nations around you. Because you're almost thermometers. I want you to make a difference because I, Yahweh, am with you. There's an experiment done with what they call processional caterpillars, and I'll read you the experiment. On the rim of a clay pot that held a plant, a biologist lined up processional caterpillars. He lined them up so that the leader was head to tail with the last caterpillar. The tiny creatures circled the rim of the pot for a full week. Not once did any one of them break away to go over to the plant and eat. Eventually, all the caterpillars died from exhaustion and starvation. And I think that's a parable about human behavior. We're happy to just chill and do things the way the world does them. Go with the flow. Friends, perhaps the time has come that we need to dare to be different. We need to be metamorphosized, as it were. How do we do this? Through the renewing of our mind. Through the renewing of our mind. This word metamorphosis appears four times in the New Testament. Twice where Jesus was transfigured, he was metamorphosized. And then now in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but also in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And so Paul is writing and saying, when you begin to take God in, you respond in a certain way. You respond in a certain way. You get transformed, you see. You become a totally new person. You become renewed, a renovation, a complete change for the better takes place. The old is gone, the new comes. And there is this renewing of your nous. That's the Greek word, your nous. Your faculties of perceiving and understanding, your judgment, your intellectual faculty begins to change. And you begin to do the things of God. There is this transformation. And then fourthly, there is this realization. Once you begin to have this revelation of his grace and his mercy, you have this presentation of your life before God. Your life gets transformed. And then you realize his good and perfect will. That will is the purpose of God in your life by his grace and his mercy. After verse 2, Paul speaks about for the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself better. Why? Because it's by his grace. And so each one of us is important in the kingdom of God because we experience his grace. No one is better than anybody else. Because it's given to us by his grace. And we respond. We respond because of his grace. How do we respond? Well, we take in the things of God. We get nourished by the things of God. We take in what is good for us so we can understand his good and pleasing will. You see, the word good is an interesting word. You get two words for good. The one is kalos, where we get the English word calligraphy or something that is good on the eye. But the word that Paul uses here is the word agathos, which is God good. So as you realize his God good and pleasing will, you begin to respond to His grace and His mercy. You begin to live a life that is pleasing to Him. In the beginning, it's hard work. But as you take it in, you respond to Him. No wonder we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's not where it stops. That's the revelation of the power within us. How do we respond? Well, we receive that power and we respond by being His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. In your street, in my street. In your job, in my job. With your family and with my family. Because of the revelation of who God is. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. Because that's kind of how the world lives. But understand His grace and His mercy. Because when you begin to not respond by being controlled by the world, but you're filled with the Spirit, you're being filled. One baptism, many fillings. You continually get filled with the Spirit of God and you respond to His grace and His mercy, that amazing revelation. What do? You speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I wonder, in closing, if there are any rooms in your house, like in mine, that need a little bit of renovation. Well, now is the time to change. And if we don't do it now, then there's a problem. Because delay is decay. It can come and it can take root in our lives and it can become extremely messy. But as we understand His grace and His mercy, we respond in a way that's pleasing to Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, Your message is profound, straightforward, and simple. But Lord, we want more of Your Spirit so we can understand it, Lord, so we can respond in a way that is pleasing to You. And so we want to acknowledge, Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but only by Your Holy Spirit. So come, Lord, and metamorphosize us, we pray. Change us so we might respond to that amazing grace and that awesome mercy that You've freely given us. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.